Yeah, go on, Barbara.
No, I heard it once, but I forgot what it was. So anxiously awaiting you to tell us.
Okay, so number one is what Paula said, that each one is given their due. But the other approach is that what we learn from this is an important message about Avodas Hashem, about tefillah, about praying, and about serving Hashem. Each one of these Nisim brought the same karban, but just because they brought the same karban doesn't mean it was the same service, right? It's not the action that defines the quality and the efficacy of the service. It is what you bring to it, right? Lahavdil, I'm not comparing the two in any serious way, but you know, you could have two actors playing the same role, right? And one actor will bring the character to life and you will be moved, and another actor will play the same character reading the same lines, but nevertheless it'll just fall flat. What's the difference? It's the same words, it's the same action, it's the same script, it's the same stage directions. What makes it different? And the answer is, it's what you bring to the role. And therefore, what the Torah is teaching us here is that each Nasi brought the same exact karban, but it was an entirely different act of service. And that's true when it comes to prayer as well. You're saying the same tefillah that I'm saying is the same prayer that somebody else is saying, but each one is different because it's what we bring to it that characterizes it, colors it, gives it depth, and gives it meaning. And not only that, but I say the same tefillah today as I said yesterday and as I'll say tomorrow. Assuming it's not Shabbos or Yontif, right? Every day, the Amidah is the same. We say the same exact words three times a day if we're praying Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. The same exact words. So why do we... So the message of the Karbanos is that even if I'm saying the same exact words on a daily basis, it doesn't have to be the same tefillah. And in fact, it can't be the same tefillah. Because I change, because I'm different, because nobody is the same 2 days in a row. And if our tefillahs are the same 2 days in a row, what it indicates is that we're really not putting ourselves into it. We are not contributing from the depth of our soul to the to the experience of the tefillah. Because if we were actually contributing, partnering with my mind and my heart to the words on the page, then it can't be the same yesterday as today. And so this is an important lesson as well. All right, I think I have now succeeded in being able to share my screen. So I'm going to try to share my screen. Let's hold on a second. I think this is going to work. And okay, do you see my screen? Yes?
It's working on it there.
It's working?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. So I'm going to, we don't need that. Okay. So here we go. I'll bring up the pasuk and the commentaries. Okay. Excellent. All right. We're back in business. We are back in business. Okay. So let's bring us now to the second day of the inauguration ceremony. Oops, let me try that again. All right, well, still not perfect, but it's better than it was. Now I can't share my screen with you. The wonders of modern technology. All right. I can share my screen with you, but apparently nothing is clickable on my screen now. Okay, back to where we started from, folks. Okay. All right. So If you take a look at day number two on the of the ceremony, so the pasuk says the following: Who is the nasi number two? This is pasuk 18. Bayom hashini hasheni hikriv nisanel ben suar nasi yisachar. On the second day, Nisanel ben Suar was the nasi, the leader of the tribe of Yisachar. So he brings the same exact carbon as the person the day before. Now, does it make sense for Yisachar to be number two on the list? So Yehuda, we explained why he's number one. So once Yehuda is number one, who would you believe should be then number two on the list?
Reuven.
Yeah, Reuven, exactly. Because Reuven was bounced from his position as the number one. Okay, so if he's not number one because he's the firstborn, at least let him be number two. But it's not Reuven. Who is number two? It is Yisachar. So why is Yisachar number two? So I'm going to read Rashi for you. Again, I apologize that my screen sharing is all messed up today. So says Rashi, Ba Reuven v'ir er v'amar. Rashi says, cites a story of the Midrash, that when this occurred, the inauguration ceremony, after Reuven was bumped in favor of Yehuda for the number one slot, Reuven came forward and saw that Yisachar was getting number two, and he complained. Ir er v'amar, he complained, and you know what he said? Achar shekidmani Yehuda, my brother Yehuda has bumped me from number one. Okay, I get that. I can understand that. Akriv ani acharav, but I Reuven should now go number two. Amar lo Moshe, so Moshe responds to him, and he says, you might have a good taina, you might have a good argument, but this one has been came down from the head office, from the executive suite, from God Himself. Mipi hagvura ne'emar. This was guided by Hashem Himself. Sheyakrivu kiseder masa'an ledigleihem. That we're not going in order of birth order, but rather we are going in order of the way the Jews encamped in the desert around the Mishkan. So the Jews were around the Mishkan, and then on each of the four sides of the Mishkan, you had three tribes. To the east, which was the forward flank of the camp as they traveled in the Midbar, you had Yehuda and Yisachar, I guess Zebulun, and then there was Reuven, Shimon, and Binyamin. I'm mixing it up here, but you had three on each side, and therefore Yisachar was number two in the groupings of the groups of three on each side. The group right next to Yehuda was Yisachar. So it makes sense that Reuven was not number two, but why was Yisachar so significant? In other words, why did Hashem choose to do it in this fashion? Why did Hashem choose to order the Nesiim in their inauguration responsibilities based on how they were encamped in the desert? Why is that a better why is that a better order than the birth order? So I throw that out to you. Can anybody suggest why is it that Hashem had them give their duties on the inauguration days in the order of how they were camped around the Mishkan rather than in their birth order, which might have been a more natural order system? Anybody have a thought about that? Barbara, you're always up for a speculative idea. Anything?
Well, I wonder if it has anything to do with the Nachala in Eretz Yisrael also. and how they were, how the Nachala was divvied up in Eretz Yisrael, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Well, he was known for learning Torah, Yisachar.
Yes, Yisachar was known for learning Torah. That is correct.
That was a biggie, you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So in other words, maybe in order to put Yisachar as number two, and then once Yisachar is number, it's really not about the rest of them. It's about making sure that Yisachar is number two. So if we put Yehuda first because he's the head of the tribes, and then Yisachar number two because he's right next to Yehuda for a reason independent of his being next to Yehuda, but once we have Yehuda and Yisachar together, then let's just put everybody else in the, you know, also in the order of how they encamped in the Midbar. This way we don't have to, you know, sort of go back and forth. Why were you first? Why were you second? It all sort of makes sense. We're following the way it was done in the desert. But really, we're not really following the way it was done in the desert. The way they camped in the desert was just simply a way to put Yehuda and Yisachar as number one and number two. So if that's the case, Yehuda, I get why we wanted him as number one. But why is it significant that Yisachar should be number two?
Because the king should have the Torah with him all the time.
Ah, okay. So Marjorie says, so the king should have the Torah with him all the time.
There was no king.
Well, Yehuda represents Malchus, and that's why it makes sense that Yisachar is next to Yehuda. But why is it important for Yisachar to be number two in the karbanos of the inauguration ceremonies? In other words, why is that significant? Okay, good. So Yehuda's next to Yisachar's next to Yehuda, and that makes a good point. A king always has to have the Torah next to him. But why, Marjorie, is that important now to have Yisachar next to Yehuda in the inauguration ceremony? This has nothing to do about Malchus over here.
No, but it's a way that the tribe should be, that the political leadership always should rely on the Torah learning, like what comes from Hashem, and it shouldn't be a secular secular society where the it's just run by the king. You have to always remember that it's under the rules of the Torah, so it's to remind them that, well, you do have a leader who's a velech, but you're also under the rules of the Torah, and, you know, the king is going to be busy with lots of things, and he doesn't have time to be studying Torah all the time, so that's why it's a very good combination to have Yehuda and Yisachar.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. I'm just questioning, why is that necessary during the when they are discharging their duties of bringing karbanos for the inauguration of the Mishkan? We're talking about a religious act here. This is bringing karbanos. This is not affairs of state. So Yehuda is given priority because of the fact that he's the leader of Klal Yisrael. So I get it. He goes first. But the fact that Yisachar represents Torah, I don't think Yisachar needs to be balancing out Yehuda over here. This is a religious ceremony. This is not affairs of state. So while it's a good idea, generally speaking, you know, when they're marching off in the desert, yes, and Yehuda is conducting affairs of state and leading them off to war and all those things, well, Yisachar should be right there behind them. The Torah should be right there behind them. But here we're talking about a religious function, giving the karbanos.
Right.
He has to be reminded to follow the Torah when doing rituals.
Yes. Even though we're not talking about the time of the kings, it's still something that needs to be ingrained in them all the time, and it's a good time to start now with that in mind, to have that always in mind. So I think. Yeah, even though it's not the time of having a king yet, I think it's a good idea to start this in mind.
Okay, all right. I agree with Marjorie. I agree with you in part. I would actually add to it and say that that the fact is that they're doing a religious act right now. This has nothing to do with affairs of state. It has nothing to do with conducting war. It just has to do with bringing karbanos. And perhaps the idea here is to remind the people that when it comes to the religious affairs, that the king has to be guided by the Torah. That, in other words, one could come to a faulty conclusion and think that, you know, maybe a king is above the law. But just like a king must rely on the Torah when he does affairs of state, and when he goes out to war, and when he does all the quote-unquote secular things, it might be counterintuitive, but it is human psychology. Sometimes people think that when they're in charge, they're above the law. So even when it comes to religious stuff, like giving the karbanos, Yisachar's got to be number two. To make the point, to emphasize the point of the primacy of Torah law in guiding even religious functions. Because you know what happens, you know, 1,000 years later, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, religious law did not properly guide the rules in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So it's not out of the bounds of human behavior to make this, this cognitive dissonance in their head where they're serving in the Beis HaMikdash but not following the laws of the Torah. Right?
Rabbi?
Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
Reading a little bit, Rashi. At the end of
I'll get to the end of Rashi. Right.
Not the other reason why.
I'm going to get to the end of Rashi in a second. Okay. Does anybody else have any other suggestions about why it's important for Yisachar to be number two, in when they are offering the karbanos, the sacrifices? Anybody else? Nope. Okay. All right. So now we'll get to the we're going to get to the end of Rashi, which Barbara read ahead. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, "Shebishvil shnei dvarim." There are two reasons. Zacha lahakriv sheni l'shvatim, that Yisachar merited or was worthy of being number two in this inauguration ceremony. Achas, number one, shahayu yodim b'Torah. Yisachar were the Torah scholars. Shne'emar, umi bnei Yisachar yodei bina le'itim. They were the Torah scholars. And therefore, just as Marjorie said and so on, it's important that even in these ritual moments, that the Torah law be clear that has primacy. V'achas, and another reason, shehem nosnu eitzal lenasiyim lehisnadev karbanos halalu. They gave the advice to the other Nisim who came after them to give these karbanos. Uvi Yisodo Shor Rabbi Moshe Hadar Shamotzasi, and in the works of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Rashi found Amar Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair Nisan El Ben Suar he Shion Eitzazo. So we have this tradition that Yisachar was the one who gave the advice for all the other Nisim to give these karbanos. So the reason number one we explained, but I don't get reason number two. Reason number two, the reason that Yisachar is number two, because he has a great merit, a great zchus. What's his zchus? That he told all the other the tribe of Yisachar advised all the other Nisim that came afterwards to give these karbanos. But I don't get it. They're number two. Everybody's giving the same exact stuff. They're not the ones who set the model. Yehuda set the standard. And everybody now, after Yehuda, does the same thing. So why is this being credited to Yisachar, number two, rather than Yehuda, number one? Let me read it again. Shehem nasnu etza lenasiyim lehisnadev karbanos halalu. It's Yisachar who gave the advice to give these karbanos. So anybody have any suggestions here? Yisachar was number two, not number one.
But it was his idea in general to bring all these karbanos, even for Yehuda. And himself, not only for those that came after him, but maybe this was his idea to begin with.
Okay, good. So Barbara is suggesting that the idea of these particular, you know, this model of Karbanos was their idea. They're the ones who had the wisdom and the understanding that this is the proper Karbanos to give. They didn't just advise all the 10 who came afterwards, but they advised Yehuda who came before. Okay, that certainly is one possibility. However, there's another view, and the other view is that they're the ones who set the model for everybody afterwards. In other words, Reuven was the first one to go. So let me give you an example. This is actually an example that Rabbi Fran suggests. Let's say you have people in shul that are making simchas, right? Yeah, you can have a whole social group. All their children are becoming bar bat mitzvah at the same time, or all their children are getting married at basically the same time. So, you know, the first kid to become bar mitzvah, so the family makes a kiddush and shul, and, you know, they serve, cake, and they serve wine, and they have potato chips and kugel and cholent and whatever they have. Right, so they sort of set the standard. Now the next one comes along and says, well, you know, that's what the first one did. We want to do ours a little differently. We want to make ours a little more unique, a little more special. We should also do something special. So, you know, they up the ante, and, you know, they hire a party planner, and the party planner makes it more special. And then the third one comes along and realizes, well, you know, Reuven and Shimon did unique things. We have to do something different. So they don't just present things differently, but they have more food and different types of food. And then the fourth one comes along and says, you know, we're going to have carving stations. And the fifth one comes along and says we're going to have multiple hot dishes. And the sixth one comes along, we're going to have an Asian station, a Thai station, Middle Eastern station, you know, French station, you know. And by the time you get to the 11th and 12th one, you know, it could really be suffocating as to what to do. There's a lot of social pressure now. So Rabbi Francis,
then Hashem will have to send a pandemic to stop all this gashmias.
Right. Then Hashem would have to send a pandemic, God forbid. So Rabbi Franz suggests, based on the Medrash that he cites, that that really, even if Reuven was even if Yehuda was the first one to do it, Yisachar gets a tremendous schar, because Yisachar, by going number two and doing the exact same thing as number one, he set the standard that you can do the same exact thing, and that's also good. Right? So on a mundane level, right, it's not about having an extra carving station to make your simcha better, but on a more profound level, that each one of the Nisim can do, must do, the same exact karban. And now the only thing that will determine the quality of the karban is what's going on in here and in here, the heart and the mind. Yisachar set a standard. They didn't just set a standard of Marjorie of not going too far into Gashmius, but they set a standard of making it clear that the external manifestation of the Karban is just that. It's an external manifestation of an inner spiritual experience. And therefore, everyone not just can do the same thing, everyone should do the same thing. And by everybody being required to do the same thing, the only way now to make my karban special and unique, different than somebody else's, is by my investing my heart and my soul into it.
The kavana.
The kavana, precisely. And therefore, we see the importance here of the inner life defining the external life, rather than the external life defining the inner life. Again, I can't share my screen with you, But the Baal HaTurim says the following. The Baal HaTurim on this pasuk, if I can find him, 1 second. The Baal HaTurim says, hold on. Yeah. Bayom HaSheni Hikriv. This pasuk opens with the following introduction. On the second day, he, meaning Nisan al Ben Suar, brought forth the following carbon. And it was the same carbon as the day before. Says the Baal HaTurim, this notion of the importance of what Yisachar provided is hinted to in these very words. The gematria, and I didn't do the math. You could do the math if you'd like. The gematria of these introductory words, Bayom Hasheni Hikriv, on the second day he brought forth a carbon. If you take the numerical value of that, it equates to Natan Lahem Eitza. Yisachar provided them advice. So the Baal HaTurim says this is so important. This contribution was so important. It's even hinted to in the introductory words of the pasuk itself. That's how important his advice was. The Archaim, again, I'm going to read it quickly because you don't have it in front of you. The Archaim says the following: Hikdim hazkaras shmo lezichron hanasios. Let's look at how the nasi on day two is described versus the nasi, let's say, on day one, how he's described. So let's go back to pasuk 12. Vayihi hamakriv bayom harishon es karbano. The leader on the first day who brought his karban, Nachshon Aminadav Lamate Yehuda. It was Nachshon who was of the tribe of Yehuda. Nachshon ben Aminadav Lemate to the tribe of Yehuda. Now let's go to Pasuk 18. How is Nisan el ben Suar described? Nisan el ben Suar Nisi Yisachar. Nisan el ben Suar, the prince of Yisachar. And now let's go to Pasuk 23 and see how the next one is described. Pasuk 23. Pasuk 24. Nisi Livnei Zivulun, the prince of Zivulun. So we have three different ways here of describing the leaders. Number one, Yehuda, is Nachshon ben Aminadav of the tribe of Yehuda. No mention of a prince. Then, number two, Nisan al ben Suar, Nisi Yisachar. He is the prince of Yisachar. And then, if you go to the next one, Levnei Zvulun, Nasi Levnei Zvulun, the prince of Zvulun, was Eliav ben Chelon. So it doesn't say, when it talks about Nisan al ben Suar, it says Nisan al ben Suar, the prince of Yisachar. But then when it goes on to number three, it says the prince of Zvulun was Eliav ben Chelon. And that's how it goes for the rest of them. The prince of Reuven, Elitzur ben Shteyur. The prince of Shimon, Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai. So if I had you up on my screen, I would show you the three things. You could see it visually a little better. But even if you can't see it visually, perhaps in your minds you can see it. Which is, again, first we have Yehuda, not even described as a Nasi. Then we have, on day two, Yisachar, described as Yisachar, as Nachshon ben Aminadav, Elitzur ben Shteyur, the prince of Yisachar. And then all the others are the prince of the tribe, and then his name. So how do we understand these three different ways of describing the leaders who are bringing the karbanos? So the Archaim says the following. Hiktim Shevet Yisachar. When it comes to number two, Shevet Yisachar, the tribe was mentioned before the name. right? The tribe Hikdim Shevet Yisachar Litzad Hayoto Ben Torah. So, I apologize. That's not true. I read that wrong. The Arachayim says that Yisachar is put in his place because of the primacy of Torah. Now to the point that I wanted to make. Hikdim Azkara Shmo LeZichron HaNasios. Why is his name Yisachar mentioned before the Nasi, before the title? Again, when it comes to Nisan al Ben Suar, it says Nisan al Ben Suar, Nasi Yisachar. So his name is mentioned, and then his title. All the others, the titles are mentioned before the name.
Nasi.
Right, it says Nasi and then the name.
Interesting.
Yeah. So before I tell you what the Arachayim's explanation is, does anybody want to offer a suggestion?
Maybe the Nasiut was not so important to him, to Netanel. Because if he did it from his heart, he did not care about the moniker.
Okay. So, in other words, this is saying how pure of heart Nisan ben Suar was, that only after they mention his name do they give it the title. But the other Nisim, like regular, like regular good, wonderful people, the title did mean something. And so, so Yisachar is, his name is mentioned first to say how pure of heart he was. He had not even the slightest pride in the title that he was given. Okay? Beautiful. Very nice, Barbara. Anybody else?
But it bothers me with Yehuda. It seems like he's being punished for something.
Why is he being punished?
Well, if it did not say at all that he was a Nasi, and it said it for everybody else, it's coming to tell us something.
Right, it is coming to tell us something. I'm not sure why you think that automatically means a punishment, but it definitely is coming to tell us something. So let's get back to Yehuda in a minute, but let's finish with this point. So I think what Barbara says is 100% correct, that the reason that Nisan al ben Suar is mentioned before his title is to show us his purity of heart. Listen to the Arachayim. Says the Arachayim, Hikdim Azkar Shmo, Lasos lo Geder Hama'ala Gam Belo Chashivos HaNasius. Masha'ein Kein Kol Shar HaNasiyim Shehikdim Zichron HaNasius Lishmam. There is something about Yisachar that gives him standing even without the title. And I think that if we understand that when it comes to Yisachar, Yisachar is defined by his scholarship in Torah. That's what makes him Yisachar. That's what puts him in the number two position. It is his intimate identification with the Torah itself. Uveshmo hizkir zichron haTorah ve'emtzaus kinyana. In his own name, you see the primacy of Torah. Right? Some people are nasi, and that's what gives them their standing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what gives Yisachar their standing, over and above and beyond the fact that they're a nasi, or that he is a nasi, and that this tribe comes number two on the list, is the fidelity with the Torah, the identification with the Torah itself. And that's what the Arachayim says. In his own name you see it. Nisan El, Natan El, God gave. In other words, the Torah. So the name of the head of the tribe of Yisachar, his name Natan El, has an allusion to God's giving us the Torah, because this tribe is so identified with their connection to Torah. And then it's Nisan El Ben Suar. What does Ben Suar mean? So Tsuar is like the word Tsa'ar. Tsa'ar, which means affliction. So we have here the Torah, the son of affliction. Says the Arachayim, what we see from this is an essential quality of Hashem having given us the Torah after Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people acquire the Torah through the avenue of tremendous challenge and pain and suffering. And on a more mundane level, that's the way a person acquires Torah in a real meaningful way. Not necessarily through pain and oppression, but through hard work and labor and toil. That's how one becomes at one with the Torah. So our Nasi number two seems to be extraordinary. Nissan El Ben Suar. Extraordinary because of the identification with the Torah. Extraordinary, as Barbara said, because of the fact that the idea of being a Nasi was not what gave him his pride or his definition. It's really entirely all his identification with the Torah. And that's why being called Nasi is secondary, not primary. For the other Nisiyim, being called Nasi is really the primary honor that they are given here. Which leaves us now with the question of Nasi number one, Yehuda. Nasi number one, Yehuda, in Pasuk 13, right? It just says, Vayihi HaMakriv, Pasuk 12, Vayihi HaMakriv, Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamate Yehuda. Nachshon, the son of Avinadav, of the tribe of Yehuda. Doesn't even call him a Nasi. Doesn't even say anything about his title. So why would it do that? So Barbara was suggesting maybe there's some type of punishment going on over here.
I changed my...
Okay. Barbara changes her mind.
I don't think it's a punishment.
Okay, one second. Marjorie, what do you think? Let's go with Marjorie.
I don't think it's a punishment. It's because it's Yehuda. He is the head. He is the Melech. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need anything else. Everyone knows Yehuda is the Melech, and he doesn't all need a second title like the others do.
Okay, very good. Excellent, Marjorie. Barbara, what do you want to say?
Well, I wanted to say something along those lines, but about Nachshon in particular, that Nachshon ben Amidav was very, very well known. And so he did not need to be glorified because everyone knew him and what he did already, especially the answer.
It was one of
okay. All right. So that very interesting as well. The Chizkuni says the following. Nachshon ben Aminadav is not called a Nasi. Why? Kidei shelo yitga'eh al shehikriv rishon. So that he should not be prideful about the fact that he went first. In other words, he is put first in the line because of his great position. And now the Torah, like Hashem sort of knocks him down a little, so he shouldn't become too prideful because of his position, right? In other words, he's number one on the list because of his position. And now that you're number one on the list, you need to remember that being number one doesn't give you the excuse to be prideful. V'chol ha'acherim nikru nisiyim, all the people that came afterwards are called nisiyim. Why? Because they were already somewhat chastened. They didn't get to go first. I know I'm not so great. I didn't go first. But the one who gets to go first, maybe he just might think, I'm all that. So in order to make it clear, this is not about you personally, that you're all that. And even if it is because of you personally that you're all that, you still can't take pride in it. You can't be prideful. You should take pride, but not be prideful. So says the Chizkuni. The Orachayim adds one point here. Says the Orachayim. Listen to this. Lo Amar Nasi. It doesn't say Nasi when it comes to the tribe of Yehuda. To their Nasi, why? Lomar to say, Ki ra'ui hu nachshon l'hakriv rishon agam shlo haya Nasi. This is maybe along the lines of what Marjorie was saying, but not 100%. Nachshon ben Amidav was so great, had he not been a Nasi, he would still have been worthy on such a level to give the karban on the inauguration ceremony. In other words, there's some people that it is the title which gives them the position, which gives them their standing. You know, when somebody becomes president of the United States, the day before I don't want to say they're a nobody, but they're a regular person. And the day after, they're a regular person. What makes somebody, what gives somebody that grand standing when they're president of the United States is the office in which they hold. But then you know you have some people, they don't need an office. It's not the office that makes the person, but the person that makes the office. And that's why Nachshon ben Aminadav Yehuda, number one, is not given any title. Because he is there despite his title, not because of his title. Nachshon ben Aminadav Shevet Yehuda is so extraordinary, and maybe the way Marjorie said it, this is Malchus, this is the kingship, this is the, you know, this is the position. Even if it's, they don't need to be called Nasi. They have it internally. It's not exactly what you were saying, Marjorie, but along those lines. Masha Ein Kain, which is not the case by all the other tribes, by all the other Nisiyim who brought their karbanos. Kima alasam hi litzad heyosam nisiyeh hashevet levad. The fact that the Nasi of Shimon and the Nasi of Zvulun and the Nasi of Gad and Dan and Asher, why were they chosen? Why are they chosen? Because of their position. Because they are the Nasi of their tribe. And that's extraordinary as well. You have to be somebody pretty extraordinary to be the Nasi. But Yehuda Nachshon ben Aminadav stands over and above beyond that. You know, it's like new money and old money, right? The nouveau riche, you know, they have to show everybody how rich they are. You know, the people who've inherited money from, 10 generations, they walk around in tattered clothing because they don't have to prove anything to anybody. They know that they have $1 billion in the bank. That's Nachshon ben Aminadav. Didn't have to prove anything to anybody. He's called, in this rendition, he's not even bothered to be called a Nasi because he doesn't need that, because that's not what makes him extraordinary. Right? That's a little different than, actually, it's the exact opposite of, I think, Barbara, what you were saying, or what the Chizkuni was saying, excuse me, that not calling him a Nasi was to bump him down a peg, so he shouldn't be so prideful. This is saying just the opposite. He doesn't even need the appellation. He doesn't even need the title. That's how extraordinary he was. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes, go ahead.
So with Netanel ben Suar's name, doesn't Soar also mean a window?
No, that's Sohar with a hay. Okay. Sohar with a hay. Okay. Let's just conclude here with one last thought by the Kli Yakar. One second. Again, I cannot share my screen with you, so you'll just take it on my word that I'm not making this all up. One second. Hold on. Okay. The Kli Yakar says the following. The Kli Yakar will conclude with the following point. You know, what was the previous section in the Parsha talking about? Previous section in the Parsha, if you go back a few psukim, you'll notice we're talking about the Birchas Kohanim. Yivarechecha Hashem Vishmerecha, may Hashem bless and protect you. Yisa Hashem Panavelecha Vichuneka, Yarshem Panavelecha Vichuneka, Yisa Hashem Panavelecha Vyasem Lecha Shalom. Priestly the blessings. And the Kli Yakar asks, what is the significance of the juxtaposition of these two sections in the Torah? So says the Kli Yakar, ki im ein shalom, ein klum. Right? How do the priestly blessings end? Yasem lecha shalom. God should bless you with peace. The point being, if you don't have peace, you have nothing. Lefikach ba bigmar chasima v'acharon chaviv, ki kol hakod mim nira ki ilo adayin heim chaserim. Adbias habracha she'achareha lemalos ma shechaser habracha rishona. That every bracha sort of seems to be somewhat lacking because it doesn't have what the other bracha has. But the last bracha of all the birchas kohanim says, v'yaseim lecha shalom, God should give you peace. And there's nothing that is more whole or complete than peace, which is shalem, wholeness. Ki ein sorech Ready to go? Here we go. Ki ein tzorech b'shum bracha shetavo acharei. There is nothing that needs to come after this bracha. And therefore, b'shabeach ve'omer gadol hashalom. The rabbis are extraordinarily praiseworthy about the greatness and the importance of peace. Shu chosam kol habrachos, which is how these brachos conclude. Ki zeh mora ve'al kein, and therefore, nimtzu umidrashim rabim. We have lots of statements of the rabbis who speak about the greatness and importance of shalom, of peace. Ve'al kein, and therefore, tzrichin shei shalom bein achayim ve'az yanucho amish kevosam. Okay, so now it gets to our point. So why is it that we've established, says the Kli Yakar, that peace is of extraordinarily importance? Peace is everything. Peace is the essential. So why is that connected here to the 12 Nisim who are bringing their karbanos on 12 days? What is the connection? Anybody want to take a speculate?
Yeah, because they all brought the same one. So then there would have been shalom between everyone and no arguing. You gave more than I did and you gave double what I did. And so this way there was shalom between everyone because everybody brought a uniform amount.
Okay, so by everybody bringing a uniform amount and a uniform type, it will preserve peace. Okay, good. Anybody else?
Everything that you said leads to peace. The entire discussion we had about how who got the title and who didn't, it all leads to creating peace among the tribes.
Very good. Okay, let's see how the Kli Yakar concludes here. With this, we'll conclude for today. After we have the brachos of the Birchas Kohanim ending in peace and shalom, miyad hischil b'parsha, immediately we have this new parsha here of the anointing and the inauguration of the Mishkan, asher ramuz gam kena shalom, and peace is hinted and alluded to here as well, because it says barishon vikarbano, it says on the very first day and his karban, meaning ki'ilu kidamo acher, as though something came before it, vikarbano. And his karban. But he's the first one to bring a karban. What does it mean, and his karban? As though somebody came before him. Shelo yehei tifarto lemor, ani hikravti rishon. Shouldn't be so prideful as to think, I gave the first, as though nothing happened before me. I'm God's gift to creation. You know, I'm born, like, you know, a child is born, and a child thinks that nothing came before them. You know, the world came into existence when I came into existence. And then we get older and more sophisticated, and we learn to appreciate our ancestors and our history, and that there was a world before us, and we're beneficiaries of all that. But when we're young and we're children, we age appropriate, we believe that, you know, the world's only important once I entered it. It's like kids in school. You know, when they're young, they sort of have this image that their teachers are just waiting for them all day, right? They come to school and the teacher is there. You know, they leave and they leave the teacher in school. So the teacher must be waiting for them all day, right? So in order to sort of disabuse us as adults of having a sophisticated version of that childish arrogance, to think that my presence is what really makes it happen. So the pasuk says, "Vikarbano," as you might notice in pasuk 13, "Nachshon ben Aminadav, vikarbano," and his karban, as though this is part of a list. And in a certain sense, it is part of a list. Even though he might be first in the order, he's not first. He's not. He's not Adam HaRishon. He's not the first of all creation, and that should give a certain sense of humility, which is the precursor for peace, for shalom. And that's what the Kli Yakar says. Shelo yehe tifarto lemor ani krafti rishon. Person shouldn't be so prideful to say, "Ah, I was the first to do it. I was the first to bring the karbanos." Gamlo hizkir bo shem nasi, and that's why it doesn't say his name, calls him a nasi. So that way he shouldn't be too prideful, and he shouldn't be too arrogant over the rest. V'yamru od shekol shnei masar shvatim elu limshinu l'shnei masar mazalos shalchim kaholech besulam la'acharav. And furthermore, he says that each one of the 12 shvatim represent a different constellation of the heavens. In other words, each one has its own importance and its own significance. Ubitam zeharicha batara bezichron kol hakarbanos b'chol shnei masar nesiim kidei shelo lasal shum echad tafel l'chavero. Nobody, no tribe is subordinate to any other tribe. Each one has its own standing. Each one has its own significance. Each one has its own contribution. Each one has its own meaning. Yes, Yehuda goes first because he is the leader. Yes, Yisachar goes second because of the primacy of Torah. But that doesn't make you or me better than one another. We all are significant, and we all have value, and we all have standing. And thus, if we all understand that about ourselves, even the ones who come first and the ones who come second for their special reasons, then that is the recipe for Yasem Lecha Shalom. So Hashem gives us a bracha, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, or the Birchas Kohanim. May Hashem bless and protect you. May Yair Hashem panav elecha, may His face shine upon you. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, may His face shine upon you. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, God should turn His face towards you, v'yasem lecha shalom, and give you peace. That's God's bracha. But now it's up to you to take that challenge and to make peace happen. God can set the stage, but now you have to make it happen. V'yasem lecha shalom, that's God's work. Now we get to the Nesiim, to the inauguration ceremony. What are you going to do, or how is it going to be crafted in order to ensure that peace emerges? And so that's why he's not called Nasi, and that's why, as we explained, or as Marjorie summed it up, everything that we've been talking about until now is there for the ingredients to make peace happen. So I think this is a good way to end for today, that as we just concluded Shavuos, which is about Hashem giving us the Torah. And you know, there's so much dispute. Does the Torah mean this? Does the Torah mean that? Does the Torah mean the other thing? And the rabbis have disputes. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that even as there might be disputes and differences of opinion, we should not confuse differences of opinion for hatred and for denigration. We have to learn how to be able to disagree agreeably, to disagree with one another, but still show great respect and honor to each other. And the way that this inauguration ceremony in the Mishkan was established was meant to create the basis and the model for how to create peace within the Nesiim, and thus peace within the tribes, peace within Klal Yisrael. And with that, we'll conclude for today.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi, for a wonderful shiur today.
Okay, thank you for coming, and we'll see you, Amir Tzashem and Shul.
Thank you.